Thank you. Santo. Di questo, Lord Chaitanya, my dear Lord, please be merciful to me, because who can be more merciful than your Lordship within these three worlds? Actually, this is a fact. Not only Narottam Das Thakur, but Rupa Goswami also prayed to Lord Chaitanya in this way. At the time of the first meeting of Lord Chaitanya and Rupa Goswami at Prayag Alapar, Sri Rupa Goswami said, "My dear Lord, you are the most munificent of all incarnations because you are distributing love of Krishna, Krishna consciousness." So, the discussion today is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I was going to begin with the first of all, I was going to say, Om Adhyana Tamananda Sajananda Salataya.
Chakshurukhamena Tasma Shri Gurudena Sri Chaitanyamuristam Sapitam Jena Gurudena Swayamukhadadamaya Tati Swapadanatitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadada Shivasadhi Gaurabhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, as Narottam Das is praying, Rupa Goswami Prabhupada is praying, that there is no incarnation more munificent than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, this is also given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila chapter 8, where Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and in the glasses, flowering so small. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Doya Kara Vichara, Vichara Karila Chitte, Prabhu Chamatkar. So he says, if you are indeed interested in logic and argument, kindly apply it to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you do so, you will find it to be strikingly wonderful. Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments in this connection that people in general, in their narrow-minded conception of life, create many different types of humanitarian activities, but the humanitarian activities inaugurated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are different. The logicians who want to accept only that which is proven through logic and argument, it is a fact that without logic and argument, without logic and argument, reason, there can be no question of accepting the absolute truth. Unfortunately, when such logicians take to this path without the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they remain on the platform of logic and argument and do not advance in spiritual life. However, if one is intelligent enough to apply his arguments and logic to the subtle understanding of the fundamental spiritual substance, he will be able to know that a forefront of knowledge is established on the basis of material logic, cannot help one understand the absolute truth, which is beyond the reach of imperfect senses. The Mahabharata therefore says that Chintya Kaluye Bhavanam Tam Sadye Bhavana Tams Tatrina Yojaya Mahabharata Bhishma Purna 5.22. How can that which is beyond the imagination or sensory speculation of mundane creatures be approached simply by logic? Logic and argument are very poor in spiritual strength and always imperfect when applied to spiritual understanding. By putting forward mundane logic, one frequently comes to the wrong conclusion regarding the absolute truth, and as a result of such a conclusion, one may fall down to accept the body like that of a jackal. Despite all this, those who are actually inquisitive to understand the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through logic and argument are welcome. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami addresses them, "Please put Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy to your crucial test." And if you are actually a logician, you will come to the right conclusion that there is no personality more merciful than Lord Chaitanya. Let the logicians compare all the results of their humanitarian work and the merciful activities of Lord Chaitanya. If their argument is impartial, they will understand that no other humanitarian activities can surpass those of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everyone engaged in humanitarian activities on the basis of the body. Everyone is engaged in humanitarian activities on the basis of the body. But from Bhagavad Gita 2.18 we understand the material body is ultimately subject to destruction, whereas the spirit soul is eternal. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philanthropic activities are performed in connection with the eternal soul. So this word Chaitanya means living force. Charitamrita, the living force in its eternal, Charitamrita, in its eternal condition. So the point made here in the purport is that there are many auspicious activities in this world introduced through philosophy, logic, argument, such as humanitarianism, altruism, philanthropy. There are various types of pious activities given in various religions. In every religion you will find there is some sort of principle of piety. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not run off with his donkey. Thou shalt not pickpocket other people's money. There may be moral principles that thou shalt not do this and thou shalt not do that. So these are all very nice principles. They're all very nice principles. But what is the point being made here? That all of these principles are in relationship with the body. This is the major factor. So the science, the wonderful science of Vedic philosophy is that the Vedic philosophy is teaching knowledge which is beyond the, interaction of the 24 elements. It is beyond the scope of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, ego. It goes on to the pure platform of the soul. So therefore, of course, this word transcendental is really only existing in its pure form in Vedic philosophy. So this transcendental knowledge is to be studied. And therefore, when we talk about giving benefit to anyone, when we look at the general tendency of religion, we find that most religions the tendency towards actually making life nice. We should make this world very nice. We should be good to each other. We should be kind to each other. We should share our material things with each other. So we study the whole aspect of morality and the aspect of this so-called search for goodness. In the material world, it is always contaminated with a mixing up of matter. So therefore, if we study, we'll see consciousness in its pure form is there. But then in the material world, consciousness is mixed up. So there is, experience. All of our experience within the material world is mixed up between what we call cognition and non-cognition. Cognitive energy and non-cognitive, or sentient energy and non-sentient. These are the two principles if we study in a very practical way. There's a living thing and there's a dead thing, isn't it? Something's living and something's dead, just like dead. But if you hit me, I go out, isn't it? So it doesn't require a great deal of, you don't have to be, as they call it, a rocket scientist in philosophy to know some things are living and some things are dead. Now, what Vedic literature is teaching is that the living force is mixed up with the dead energy called matter. So, therefore, this mixing up of dead energy is described, of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, Sattvam, Rajas, Tamati, Guna, Prakriti, something like that. That there is three different qualities, particular three qualities of what you say, qualitative analysis of matter. One is higher, one is mediocre, and one is lower. So what we say, Sattvam, Rajas, goodness, passion, and ignorance. If we study, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that if you study carefully, you will find that there is nothing beyond these three modes of nature. That everything in the entire creation is resting within these modes. So the different types of permutations, mutations of matter are all interactions between consciousness and the three modes of nature. By the interaction of consciousness in the three modes of nature, various types of bodies are coming out, millions and millions of different types of bodies. And manifested through these bodies is various types of consciousness. This consciousness which is there, this is called Chaitanya, this is Chaitanya, the living force within the body. So, therefore, the various divisions of Vedic philosophy or any other philosophy are generally dealing with elevation through the various modes of nature. Just like when you talk about the different varnas and ashrams, the different, the different parts of life. Just like when Ramananda Roy was discussing with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the beginning of his discussions he brought forth the proposition of the varna and ashrams for elevation. So Lord Chaitanya basically told Ramananda Roy to carry on, to carry on. So then Ramananda Roy started to get deeper and deeper into the various verses of Vedic literature. Then he gave the verse, Sarvadhamam Pritya Mamekam Savanam Vada Hong Kong Sarvabhava Dio Mukshasham Masajaha. And of course, even then Lord Chaitanya said, yes, this is very, very good, but even carry on further. Carry on further. So who knows what was the final conclusion, what was the final verse that Ramananda Roy gave that Lord Chaitanya was pleased with? Give the image.
That one should stay in this position, but engage himself in Jewish pursuits.
Yeah, that one, the point is that the one does not have to change the material situation within this material world, but one has to actually engage in devotional service. So this activity of devotional service, as it explains in the Nectar Devotion, is automatically putting one on the transcendental platform. Devotional service to Krishna is automatically putting one. In other words, as Rupa Goswami Prabhupada explained, that it is both the means and the end. It is the only process, devotional service is the only process that is both the means and the end. You see, everything else is a material adjustment. Every single instruction that is given is some sort of material adjustment, meaning that if you perform the varnas and ashrams very nicely, if you engage yourself in pious activities, if you perform rituals and sacrifices, etc., then gradually one can actually elevate oneself higher and higher. So this example is also given very nicely in the Srimad Bhagavatam, just like that there is wood. Now, one requires fire. We require fire. Now, fire comes from the wood, but wood itself is no good. It's only wood, and you require fire. So the next thing is that you have to bring the fire out of the wood. And when you start to bring the fire out of the wood, the first thing that comes is smoke, isn't it? The smoke is also not the choir. The smoke, the wood is not the choir, the smoke is not the choir. But then gradually the fire comes out of the wood. So this fire, with the fire, then we can do something. Then we can achieve something. Then with the fire we can cook very nicely, we can warm ourselves up. So in the same way that most of the religions of this world, the philosophical parts of this world, they are all to bring some higher state, if you like, to move towards the actual fire. But what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching is beyond the wood and the smoke. Therefore it is called Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita, because it is the actual Lord Chaitanya came to demonstrate the living force in its eternal condition, not in its what we call mixed up condition. In other words, Lord Chaitanya is coming into the material world, and his pastimes with his devotees are, as it says, namo mahavadanta, as it says, goloko prema dana, harinam shankirtana. So the difference is that Lord Chaitanya has brought the spiritual world to the material world. You see? Lord Chaitanya has brought the spiritual world to the material world. That's why when we study Lord Chaitanya, we have to study Sri Chaitanya in that light. That Lord Krishna came into the material world, as he says, yudaya-yudaya-dharma-shah, whenever there is a decline, the decline in religious practice, predominant rise of religion, at that time I found myself. So Lord Krishna comes into the material world, but when he comes into the material world, he gives instructions that surrender unto me. Because he is God, because he is the transcendental autocrat, he is the supreme dominator, controller of the creation. Therefore he simply gives instruction, surrender unto me. Of course, actually, it is very, very difficult for the living entity to surrender to Krishna, because we are associating with the material world since the material energy, since time immemorial. So therefore, we have become covered over by various types of dust. This accumulation of dust in the heart has gone on since time immemorial. So therefore, when Lord Krishna comes into the material world, it is very difficult for people to recognize him. It is very difficult for people to take benefit from Krishna's coming. Therefore, as Srila Prabhupada explains, that when Lord Chaitanya comes, Lord Chaitanya takes off, takes, if you like, after from where Krishna left off. In other words, Krishna left off, surrender unto me, and then Lord Chaitanya shows how to surrender unto Krishna. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya's contribution is so wonderful because he is showing how to surrender. So therefore, this surrender is exemplified in Lord Chaitanya because he comes as a devotee. Had he come in any other capacity, it would be very difficult for us to get the maximum benefit of understanding his pastimes. So this pastime as a devotee is very wonderful because you show in practical terms how one can completely disassociate himself from the material world and go back to home, back to God. So therefore Lord Chaitanya, when he was on this planet, He never actually wrote. All of his writings were done through the agency of his disciples and followers. But he did write 8 prayers, which of course is called Shishastika. Chaitanya Tapanam Madhinam Bhavamadavaginam Apanam Sri Akaraiva Chandrika Vitaram Vidyamadu Jivanam Anandamburi Vardhanam Putipatam Purnam Ishtaradhanam Sarvatma Snapanam Paranijayate Shri Krishna Sankitanam. So this Chaita of the heart, Vartana, the mirror, Marjanam, cleansing, Bhava, of material existence, Mahadavagni Agni, the blazing forest fire, Nivapanam, extinguishing, Sriya, of good fortune, Karaiva, the white lotus, Chandrika, the moonshine, Vitaranam, spreading, Vidya, of all education, Vadu, life, Jivanam, the life, Ananda, of bliss, Ambudi, the ocean, Vardhanam, increasing, Pratipadam, at every step, Purna Amrita, of the full nectar, Ashpadanam, giving a taste, Sarva, for everyone, Atmasnapana, bathing of the self, Param, transcendental, Vijayate, let there be victory, Sri Krishna Sankirtana, for the congregation of chanting of the holy name. Glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtana, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years together, and thus extinguishes the blazing fire of conditioned life, of repeated birth and death. This Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large, because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss and enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. So this prayer is, if we study it, we will see the 8 prayers of Shishtastra that contain all the deepest philosophy of Vedic knowledge. But basically, that this Atmasnapana means bathing of the self. Bathing of the self. So this is the, if you like, the deepest meaning of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. That Lord Chaitanya has come to bathe everyone in the self. You see? Because at the moment, the living entity is just like Prabhupada gives the example, when you go into the ocean, Prabhupada said, we go into the ocean to enjoy, and we are swimming in the ocean, but due to the big waves, sometimes we are drowning also. Sometimes we are drowning. So we have come to this ocean in the material world to have a nice swim. We have come here to have a swim. We want to swim in Maya. And many of us are good swimmers. We are having a good swim in Maya, and we are enjoying it. But just like when you're enjoying in the ocean, sometimes there is very big waves. Very big waves. And when there are very big waves, sometimes you are drowning also. So you should understand that in the material world, everybody wants to swim, but people don't want to drown. People don't want to drown. But they are drowning. And the condition of drowning means one becomes completely helpless. One becomes completely helpless. So this drowning is the contamination of the material world. That basically, on account of disassociation with the material world, therefore we have become more and more if you like, concretized. We have become more and more like wood. We have become more and more like solid. Our heart has become steel framed. Our heart has become like concrete. If you study it, you will see that what is the condition of most people. Most people, anyone who is honest, will explain that their heart is like concrete. Isn't it? We all know that our heart is like concrete. We want very much to love, but we have no capacity to love. We have very little capacity to love. The most manifestation of love we can somehow squeeze out is for our own children or for our wife. And then it's a big effort. Even then, we have to struggle. So we see that how much this love has become diminished. If we study love as the highest principle, love is the principle of the soul. It is the living force. The living force is actually Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is the consciousness in its pure ecstasy of love. But in the material world, that love has become so much covered over that on account of being mixed up with this mundane energy, inanimate energy of the material world, and therefore everyone in the material world is looking for the sweet nectar of love, but they are trying to love their body. This love has become pervertedly manifested into their body, and therefore we see that this nature, as Prabhupada says, if you see the nature of the material world, you try to love the body, but in the material world, as soon as you have some association with something, familiarity breeds contempt. Isn't it? Familiarity breeds contempt. So what happens is that we want to love our body, we want to love the things related to our body, we want to love the objects of sense gratification, we want to love. But as soon as we associate with these things, as soon as we associate with things in the material world, we actually become contemptuous. We become contemptuous because that these things are not able to give us any reciprocal value. They have very, very limited amount of reciprocation. So therefore, we try to love and we hope that there will be reciprocation of love. But in actuality, in the material world, this love is not there. Simply it has become transformed into lust. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya has come in order to bathe the self. In other words, to bathe the self in the ocean of love. And therefore, he is known as Namo Mahabharata, Krishna Prana Padayate. Because Lord Chaitanya actually has brought down Krishna. He has brought Krishna, and Krishna has come, because in Kali Yuga, people are so much degraded that Krishna comes in a very, very powerful force. That powerful force, of course, is the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, this Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large, because it spreads the rays of the benediction movement. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss and enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. So, therefore, logically, if you can understand that whereas in the normal instructions of the Vedas, one has to go through so many different rules and regulations, practicing of austerities, then there's practice of Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, Hatha Yoga, so many different types of purificatory processes are required. But in this Kali Yuga, there is only one requirement, and that requirement is that one has to chant the holy names of the Lord. As it says, Chanada Pisini Chena, Tarora Pisinishina, Amanina, Madhina, Kitina, Siddhari. That one should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, think of oneself lower than a straw in the street. One should be more taller than a tree, the voice of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So this is the actual difference between all of the other ages. In all of the other ages, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, there was also processes recommended, very, very strict processes. In Satya Yuga, there was, I believe, meditation, isn't it? Meditation for thousands of years. One would meditate upon the Supreme Personality of God. In Treta Yuga, there was a performance of sacrifice. Performance of sacrifice, tremendous performances of sacrifice. In Dwapara Yuga, there was deity worship. Very, very complicated and elaborate deity worship. And in Kali Yuga, there is absolutely no, requirement. Actually, in Kali Yuga, the qualification is your disqualification. So this is the, your disqualification is your qualification. So that is why this yuga is so wonderful. It is actually a very blessed age. We are very, very fortunate to have taken birth in this age, because we who are the most disqualified have become the most qualified. You see? It's a complete contradiction. That's why you will find that in the Hare Krishna movement, you will find many amazing characters. You will find many amazing characters. And you will wonder, oh, how did these characters come to Krishna consciousness? I'm talking about myself, of course. How did these characters come to a spiritual path? That is why many people are very surprised in India that how these Westerners, who are so degraded and so licentious, they are cow eaters, they are women hunters, they are mad after intoxication, they are always engaged in simple activity. It's a fact that if you look at Western society, the one predominating aspect is they're always engaged. If you look at someone from morning when they get up until they go to night, they're always engaged in simple activities. So therefore, it seems contradictory that how people who can come from such a background, such a simple background, could actually gain the highest principle, or the, if you like, the association with the most intimate philosophy of the Bhagavatam. Even if you look across Vedic literature, you will find that there are different grades of literatures dealing with different esoteric aspects of the Absolute Truth. And of course, we can understand, by study of Vedic literature, that the most esoteric aspect of the Absolute Truth is the confidential pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan. There is no more confidential knowledge. And we see that here you have those people who are the most simple, degraded personalities on the planet, getting the opportunity to enter into the transcendental rasa-lila of Krishna. So this is one of the reasons why Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that he says that if you are indeed interested in Raja Ganadhar, kindly apply the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you do so, you will find it to be strikingly wonderful. So strikingly wonderful, of course, what is meaning here is that inconceivable, that you cannot actually comprehend the unlimited mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has actually opened up the floodgates. He has opened up these floodgates of love of God, which were kept closed for billions upon billions of years. If you look at the history of even from Vedic point of view, that there has never been a time when the availability, Satya Yuga was not available in such a way, and Treta Yuga and Dwapara Yuga. There has never been a time when the direct, the direct shower of the mercy of pure love for Krishna is given so freely without any qualification. But the qualification which Lord Chaitanya is giving is that one has to become more humbler, that one should become more humbler. One should chant the names of the Lord in a humble state of mind. Now, why is Lord Chaitanya emphasizing this humble state of mind? Is because that there actually is no other need of any other qualification to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead than humility. The rarest quality in the material world is humility. Humility is a very, very difficult thing to understand because it doesn't exist in the material world. It doesn't exist in the material world. Humility, so-called humility in the material world, is simply some, craftiness. It's simply some craftiness. Just like when you go into a shop, the woman behind the counter appears very humble. Oh, can I help you? And you can see she hasn't got an ounce of interest in helping you. But she has got an interest in picking your pocket. She has got an interest in emptying your pocket. So we can see that actually everywhere in the material world, this so-called humility does not exist. It does not exist. There is always, if you study that humility, you will always find that behind that humility, there is some motivation. There is some motivation. So this humility that Lord Chaitanya talks about, is it the same humility? Is Lord Chaitanya talking about the same humility possessed by the shopkeeper? Or by the crafty double glazing salesman? By the materialist? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking for a different type of humility. Now who knows what that is? If it's not the one that we use in the material world, then where does it come from? Okay, if we say it comes from the spiritual world, then how do we get it? That's the other question. How do we get it? In other words, it's not something which is existing within this material world. So therefore, how do we get this humility? That is the question.
By understanding that Krishna is greater, that you will understand that we have a response.
By understanding that Krishna is great, you naturally understand that we're very small. Is that good enough? Is that good enough?
Also to be in the mode of goodness.
To be in the mode of goodness. Okay, to be in the mode of goodness, you consider that will develop that humility, being in the mode of goodness. That humility will come. Mm. Okay, anyone else? Is anyone else putting a...
By serving the Vaishnavas?
By serving the Vaishnavas, okay. Let's get them all now quickly. You say your one again?
No,
y'all want to go through them so we don't lose track. Say again?
Repeat. Understanding that Krishna is great gives us understanding.
Okay, understanding that Krishna. Now, if you understand that Krishna is great, what would that bring? What would that bring? Huh? All reverence. All reverence. Goodness is very nice, but what is the problem with the mode of goodness? What is the problem with the mode of goodness? Yes. It's usable. You can use it. You can enjoy it. Another craftiness is there. Okay, where was the other one? Any craftiness in his one? What was your one? Service to Vaishnava. Exactly. That service to Vaishnavas, that this Hari Guru Vaishnava, Hari Guru Vaishnava, that one has to approach the mercy of Lord Chaitanya through his devotees. This is the humility. Just like we don't have any humility. Well, I don't anyway. I don't have any humility. I don't expect to have any humility in this lifetime.
because of such a hard heart. My heart is like country. But the service of the Vaishnavas, the service of the devotees, this is actually the example which is given. If you look at the example of Lord Chaitanya's followers, that the real humility is service. Because service just like one time, I'll give you an example. One time Prabhupada was sitting in the lower bucket of the mower. Those famous photos, the role of Prabhupada sitting in that lawn, sitting in the lawn. So we used to go over and sit with Prabhupada because it was very wonderful just to sit there in the summer sun, sitting with Prabhupada in the garden. And I remember one time I was walking over with a few other devotees for our daily sit with Prabhupada. So we thought that this was very spiritual, because obviously sitting with such a pure devotee in the garden was very spiritual, and therefore we were able to do it every day. So as we were approaching Prabhupada, Prabhupada looked up and he pointed to what was four or five devotees that were clearing up the lake. They were going backwards and forwards with different, I think they were cleaning it out or something like that. And Prabhupada looked at us and he said, "These are the devotees." He said, "These are the real devotees. They are always engaged in Krishna service." So Prabhupada was pointing out, of course we quickly went over to help him. The Prabhupada was pointing out that the attitude of service is ultimately extremely important. One should be very careful to develop a very, very humble attitude of service, because service is our umbilical cord to Krishna. Prabhupada used to say that. He said our service is our umbilical cord to Krishna. And therefore, actually, you see this practically also. Generally, when a devotee first comes to ISKCON, he seems to get the humblest service, isn't it? When he gets cleaning the pots. I remember when I joined, my job was to clean the rubbish out and the kitchen. I had to clean. In those days, there was this concrete kitchen in Bury Place, so I used to scrub it. And Jamuna was very, very fussy about the cleanliness then. So I would scrub this floor. And actually, to be honest with you, the feeling I got when I used to do this, I've practically never had since. I had a deep sense of humility at that time. When I first came, I was so overawed by Krishna consciousness and the fact that I was a little mad. I was kind of this, how you see sometimes these, super zealous. That's the word when someone first comes in touch with Krishna consciousness. They have a super innocence. It's almost like, you know, it's, you know, they've got the bhakta look. And you think to yourself, yeah, wait, you've been around. You won't be looking like that, I can tell you that. I'm all for those. So I was cleaning away, and one time I felt so much ecstasy I had to go outside. There was a little courtyard where we kept all the vegetables, and I just screamed, "Hari Bol." But the point was, is that the point I'm making is, when we first come, we actually surrender. We surrender. And many times we give our heart. And there's no doubt, practically every devotee can say that first feeling they get is the most wonderful. The first point where you actually feel you've surrendered to Krishna. Because you're actually experiencing something which is very difficult to describe. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that raga, or attachment, is that thing that happens before you start thinking. You understand? It's that thing which happens. If you can try to describe raga, you have to try and describe it, but there's no words to describe it. But it's that thing, just like the child. One time I went down to see Pragosh in Wicklow, Pragosh Prabhu, and his two little sons came out. They were very young at that age. And one of them, I'd probably seen him only three times, he came up and he hugged me like anything. He was hugging me. And here we were, standing outside Pragosh's house, and this little kid had his arms around me like anything, and he was just hugging me. And I thought to myself, you couldn't get an adult to do that. It wouldn't exist in an adult's mind to hug like that. This child was giving us everything. And I don't know why, but the spontaneous feeling sometimes when it comes in children cannot be understood or comprehended. So if you wanted to try and describe Radha, it's before you think about it. And that's why one must be very careful not to become familiar with Krishna consciousness. Don't become familiar with these things, because these things are directly coming from the spiritual world. This chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
But the feeling that you will have for chanting of Hare Krishna is something that must come, just like that child. Prabhupada said, one time they asked Prabhupada, how should we chant? And Prabhupada said, just like the child who has lost its mother. Just like the child who has lost its mother, you must chant to Krishna like that. But it's very hard for us to chant like children, because the nature of our association in the material world is we have become very much egocentric. We have become contaminated by association. Some of us are thinking, I've got male body, female body, I've got a big body, little body, I'm a very intelligent body, I've got a very super artistic body, or so many different. We are, all of us, contaminated by association with this material body, and particularly with this association with the material mind. So therefore, when we try to study the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya, when we try to study Krishna consciousness, it is very, very difficult to understand. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya has come with Lord Nityananda. Lord Chaitanya has come with Lord Nityananda. And if you study the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, if you study the pastimes of Dvaita Gadara Shivas, if you study the pastimes of the Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, the associates of Lord Chaitanya, then you will understand what is the real raga, the real spontaneous attitude of devotional service. And therefore, that's why Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is saying, if you use all your logic, all your intelligence, just simply study these pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and see the unlimited potency of how wonderful these pastimes are. So this cleansing of the dust this cleansing of the dust of the mirror of the mind, this cleansing of the heart, is a gradual process. But that process is that one's heart must become melted. Isn't it that verse in the Bhagavatam which it says that anyone whose eyes do not fill up with tears, tears do not pour from his eyes with the chanting of the holy name, then it should be understood that his heart is still praying. You see, still praying. So, therefore, this chanting of Hare Krishna is not a mechanical or material process. It is not some sort of what we call pious activity. It is not some sort of humanitarian or any kind of so-called I can use a word. It is not some sort of it has no craftiness. It has no craftiness, because the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra allows one to directly enter into the rasa lila of Krishna, and therefore it is said that one who chants sincerely the holy names, then he can actually enter in to, it is said, actually, to go even further, but it says that the congregational chanting of Kirtana is exactly the same in power and potency as dancing in the Rasa Lila. So, when you say that Goloka Premadana, and Lord Chaitanya has brought, he's brought Goloka here. He's brought Goloka to the most abominable places. He has brought the rasa dance to the most simple places, where there is cow killing, prostitution, intoxication, where there is the greediest, simplest of people. He has brought it there. Therefore, there is no one who can even begin to understand. Prabhupada one time said, he said, you may understand all the operations of Krishna. You may even be able to understand everything about Krishna, but the one thing you would never ever be able to understand, that is the mercy of Krishna. So Prabhupada was using that example. Of course, we cannot understand Krishna. We cannot understand Krishna's beauty, his fame, his form, his pastime, his own. We cannot understand all these things. But even if we could, still, even beyond limited, this mercy of Krishna can never be understood. And this mercy potency, this mercy energy has come by the grace of Lord Chaitanya. So therefore, we should be very intelligent to take full advantage, because never again, just like, it's like in a sense, it's almost like winning the lottery. If you've got it, it's like having a winning ticket for £20 million. And you don't take it very seriously, so you lose the ticket. How bad you will feel. You will feel, to use a good example. So, similarly, that to have a chance, that now you have a chance, that without any qualification whatsoever, without any qualification, you can capture Krishna, who is uncapturable, or you can, just like one time, we were in Bari place, and we were sitting, and it was one of those very intimate moments when Prabhupada was looking at the deities. He had just arrived. Prabhupada would sit on the Vyasa sign, and he was looking at the deities. Shishi Radha Landanishwara in Bari place. And then I remember, because I was sitting right at Prabhupada's feet, Prabhupada looked like he was in ecstasy, and then he turned around and he was looking at the devotees, and Prabhupada had his hand on his heart, and he had these only type of eyes that only Prabhupada had. Prabhupada, they were welled up with ecstasy. And Prabhupada said, "I have captured Krishna for you." He said, "I have captured Krishna, and I'm holding him here. Now you come back." So this is the inconceivable power of the pure devotee. That reason Lord Chaitanya comes with his pure devotees, his servants, is because those servants are the storehouse of love of God. They have captured Krishna, and by their power, they are able to give Krishna to us. So therefore, that is why service to the pure devotee, service to Srila Prabhupada, is the highest platform of humility. And from that sincere service, and without any conceit within one's heart, one will actually be able to get the supreme mercy of pure love for Krishna. So, therefore, the important thing is that one must sincerely understand this process of approaching the Holy Name. As it says here, "Oh my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benedictions to living beings, and thus you have hundreds and millions of transcendental names, such as Krishna and Govinda, in which you have invested all your transcendental energies. There are no hard and fast rules for chanting these names. Oh my Lord, out of kindness you enable us to easily approach you by your holy names. But I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than a straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and he should be ready to offer respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire..." Now this is very important, that why is it that it's giving this very nice point. One is that one should feel himself lower than a straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige. And one should be ready to offer all respects to others. Then, the Lord is saying, "I have no desire to accumulate wealth." So if you look directly related, that all of these things, wealth, it is related to what? False prestige. So, "nor do I desire beautiful women." What is that related to? False prestige. "Nor do I want any number of followers." What is that related to? False prestige. "I only want your causeless devotional service, birth after birth." So what is the biggest enemy for chanting the holy name? False prestige. So this prestige is very important to understand. Prestige. Everybody wants to be very prestigious, isn't it? Nobody likes to be insignificant. And in the material world, to be insignificant, it is considered to be worthless, is your failure in life, isn't it? There's nothing more a failure in this kingdom than to be nothing. And to be the biggest That's why you always see that when someone is bigger than the others, all the others look that way. Isn't it? When the big shot comes in, all the little shots stand there looking. Most of them are hoping, I hope I become that big shot one day. But at least they have to stand in awe at the big gun, the big cannon, the big shot. So the nature of the material world is that there is always competition, because the material world is based upon the principle of exploitation. And therefore, those who are big exploiters always stand in awe. They stand in awe of them. They stand trembling to look at them. So powerful they stand. And those who are humble servants, get out of there, you. What are you doing here? Who are you? We have no time for them. We don't even look at their face. They're so insignificant, just like the toilet cleaner in the railway station. They are despicable, horrible, failures, the ones who didn't make it. The ones who didn't get a good education. The ones who had ugly parents. The ones who had no money. Don't even drive a decent car. They are the wretches of society, crawling out of the gutter. But in the spiritual world, there's a different energy. The spiritual world is completely 100,000 million percent different from the material world. Because the material world is the shadow of the spiritual world. But that reflection of the material world is the energy of lust. Now in the spiritual world, that energy is called dedication. Dedication. So, therefore, in the spiritual world, those who are the big shot, they can't get in there. Not only can they not get in there, but they are kept trillions and billions and billions of universes away. Those who are the biggest of the biggest, the greatest of the greatest, as Jesus said, easier for a camel to enter into an eye of a needle than for the rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus also said, he who is last, he shall be first. And he who is first, he shall be last. So therefore, that energy of the spiritual world is based upon dedication. So there's no need for you to make your impression there. You do not have to be materially something to impress Krishna. You do not have to be a big devotee. You do not have to be a very educated philosopher. You do not have to be the most aristocratic or anything of the else. The only thing Krishna wants in that world is your love. So therefore, the only thing that Krishna is looking for is feeling. Krishna is after our feeling. And if we give Krishna our feeling, then we are the highest. Because the intensity or the different gradation of the spiritual world is all based upon intensity of feeling for Krishna. So therefore, this is the real spiritual qualification. The only spiritual qualification is how much feeling you have for Krishna. One time we were asking Prabhupada, he said, Srila Prabhupada, how will one know what is guru? And Prabhupada turned around and he said, find someone who's mad after Krishna. So this madness for Krishna does not depend upon anything material. It is a completely transcendental thing. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is saying, Najanam Najanam Nasimiram Kavitam Ba Jagadishitam Mama Jamani Jamani Bhavata Bhakti Hanabhi. Oh, Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want what? Your causeless devotional service. So that causeless devotional service is what we are hankering for. That feeling of causelessness. You cannot get it in the material world. Causeless humility, causeless dedication, causeless service, causeless love. It doesn't exist here. You won't find it here. You can't get it here. You can't buy it here. You can't steal it here. That's why the spiritual world lies beyond the scope of the materialist. Because causeless, the only, existence of causelessness is the spiritual world. In the material world, everything is cause and effect. Therefore, in the material world, we are all engaged in measuring. We are always measuring the different effects and the different causes to try to satisfy our senses. In the spiritual world, there is no cause because there is no creation. You understand? Spiritual world has no creation. There is no cause. In the spiritual world, there is only Krishna and Krishna's devotees. And, of course, the effect of that is pure love for Krishna. Therefore, when one actually surrenders to Bhakti Devi, when one surrenders to devotional service, then one is automatically transferred to the unlimited oneness of love for Krishna. O son of Maharaj, this leads to this. O son of Maharaj Nanda Krishna, I am your eternal servant. Yet somehow or other I have fallen into this horrible ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the animals at your lotus feet. O my Lord, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love, flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up, and when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your name? O Govinda, feeling your separation, I am considering the moment to be like 12 years or more, and tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. I am feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so even if he handles me roughly by his embrace, or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always my worshipable Lord. Obviously. Okay, we finish that. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.